5 years ago, their album Mirage seemed to spell the end of the group and the start of solo careers, most notably for Stevie Nicks.
I did it because I needed another outlet. I have way too much material to be in a band with five people, three of which write, and every couple of years be able to give two or three songs. It's not enough for me.
But now, Fleetwood Mac is back in grand style with her new album, Tango in the Night, climbing the charts.
I know in my heart that there's never going to be another situation like Fleetwood Mac. Day by day.
Hey, you're listening to Day by Day Fleetwood Mac. Day 14, about their 14th studio album, Tango in the Night, came out in April of 1987, produced by Lindsey Buckingham and Richard Dashett again. A lot of what ends up on this album started as a Lindsey Buckingham solo album, while Lindsey's contributions. There's several hit singles here and a couple singles that flopped. Stevie Nicks' contributions to this album are minimal. She's got a booming solo career. By this time, she's got, what, three hit solo albums. She was all over MTV with Stand Back and Talk to Me, and she was an MTV star in her own right, you know. So Stevie's solo career was booming between Mirage and Tango in the Night. And so that's obviously the reason why she hardly even seems to have given a shit about this album. And also, I mean, I think the story is she was so deep into drugs, into cocaine, and a mess also. Yeah, this album is, it's produced by Lindsey, and it's Fleetwood Mac's real 80s album. Mirage doesn't feel that 80s. This is their 80s piece of work. And, you know, Lindsey has had another solo album before this as well, of a pretty weird album that I like called Go Insane. That wasn't a huge success for him. Christine had a solo album as well. Yeah, this is like a last gasp of this lineup, and it was a big hit. This was a much bigger hit album than Tusk or Mirage. I think it has sold like 7 million copies in the U.S., so the cover art is a painting by an Australian artist named Brett Livingstone Strong that I guess Lindsey had hanging in his home, and then comes the album cover here. Maybe that was going to be the album cover of his solo album. The title track, Tango in the Night, was, you know, Lindsey's solo song before he ended up giving it to the band. I don't know if that would have been the name of the Lindsey solo album. I think a lot of this is a real studio creation. You know, it doesn't much feel like a band. Stevie Nicks was, I guess, only there for 2 weeks. She was in the middle of promoting her third solo record, Rock a Little. Actually, a couple songs she submitted for the album were rejected by the band. But, you know, she was probably saving her best stuff at that point for her solo career. Interestingly, I think the real reason this album even exists is because of the work Lindsey Buckingham put into it. And then he's going to be the one to quit the band afterwards. And I don't know if all of that contributes, you know. I don't know if Lindsey had resentment over Stevie's solo success. I don't know if Lindsey had resentment that he was doing all the work, probably. I don't know if, you know, Lindsey just wanted to do his own thing. You know, it takes him 5 more years after this, I think, to even put out another solo album. And then, you know, that's the only solo album he even releases in the 90s. He doesn't really, you know, jumpstart his solo career until years later. Lindsey becomes kind of a recluse, I think, for a period of time. And yeah, but this is the second best-selling Fleetwood Mac album after Rumors, just based on they had some big hit songs on here and got a lot of MTV play as well. The album only peaked at number 7 on the Billboard charts. So let's get into it.
Tango in the Night.
Tango in the Night opens with a song from Lindsey Buckingham called Big Love. All right, so this is a brilliant song. Now, this is an example where we get both. We get the amazing studio creation that Lindsey Buckingham built in the studio, but we also know the amazing solo acoustic version of this song that Lindsey can do. It's hard to say which version is better. They're very different, but it's interesting to note that as much as Lindsey built something like this in the studio, he can also perform it, just him and an acoustic guitar, and just blow your mind. Which shows what an amazing artist he is, just with a guitar, by himself, and also in the studio. So this song is a perfect example of the multifaceted genius that is Lindsey Buckingham. I don't know about the lyrics, but in terms of the arrangement and the production and the melody, this is an amazing piece of work, and it was all over MTV, and it's inventive and creative and cool and a killer hit single from Lindsey Buckingham, Big Love. Second song on the album, Seven Wonders. So this song was written by Sandy Stewart, and Stevie Nicks contributed like one lyrical change, which I think she just accidentally misheard a name in the demo. But then she gets a songwriting credit, even though she had nothing to do with writing the song, basically. And it's a decent song if they were going for a hit single in the 80s. Interesting percussion, which is very prominent in the mix. It's a decent song. I like it well enough, and it was a top 20 hit. Third song on the album, sung from Christine McVie, called Everywhere. You know, it's interesting to hear these artists trying to create pop music for the 80s, mid to late 80s. This is a really good song from Christine, with cool minimalist production, very subtle guitar work from Lindsey that I guess was built with effects on acoustic guitars mixed with electric guitars. So Lindsey being very creative and meticulous in the studio to do something that's very subtle, but a lot of work went into it. And a very nice chorus. So this is a laid back and simple song, but very nice pop single that was also a top 20 hit. Fourth song on the album, a song by Lindsey Buckingham called Caroline. A weird, dark song, kind of droning, I don't like the chorus at all. So this is one of my least favorite songs Lindsey Buckingham ever did with Fleetwood Mac. Fifth song on the album, the title track, Tango in the Night. So after his second solo album, Go Insane, Lindsey started working on what would have been his third solo album. And this was one of the songs that he was working on for that album. It's atmospheric, kind of dark. It's a cool song, but I can't say I love it. It's very weird, very Lindsey, but it's a Lindsey solo song. Not a Fleetwood Mac song, if that makes sense. It's, yeah. Last song on side one, a song by Christine Ann Lindsey called Mystified. This is really a boring, sappy ballad. It's not bad, but I don't want to listen to it. And actually, the chorus sucks.
Podcast listeners, Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Flipping the record over, side two begins with a Christine McVie pop single, brilliant pop single, written with her husband at the time, Eddie Quintela, or Quintela, called Little Lies. Yeah, brilliant pop song, killer production, Lindsey Buckingham's vocal contributions are very cool. The chorus is killer. Christine really delivered for this album with Everywhere and this song. She was vital to this album working at all. And this was a top 10 hit, went to number 4. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Second song on side two, a song from Lindsey Buckingham called Family Man. An interesting song. I do like it, but it's pretty strange. It doesn't really have a great chorus. I'm a huge Lindsey Buckingham fan, obviously, but this is not a favorite. Actually, interestingly enough, I prefer the song that ended up on the B-side of this single, a non-album track called Down Endless Street, which is much more of a, just a pop song. Third song on side two, Stevie Nicks recycling what, in my opinion, was her worst song from Tusk, Sarah. I guess Stevie had three other songs that she submitted demos for the album, Ooh My Love, Juliet, and Joan of Arc, that were rejected. So if I'm going to criticize Stevie for her contributions or lack thereof to this album, I guess I have to take into account that she submitted three songs that were rejected, but I, you know, her first contribution, Seven Wonders, she didn't write, and this song was already on Tusk, so what the fuck? Fourth song on side two, another song Christine wrote with her husband and also Lindsey. Pretty good 80s sounding song called Isn't It Midnight. Nice driving beat. But, I mean, considering the last song is a rehash of a previous song, it's hard to call this filler. But, you know. Fifth song on side two is Stevie Nicks' only real contribution to the album, since she didn't write Seven Wonders and Sarah was an old song. This is a song called When I See You Again. It's an effective ballad. I like it, but it also seems like she could have written this in 5 minutes. There's not much to it. It did not need to be 4 minutes long. Very nice vocal contributions from Lindsey and a nice acoustic guitar solo. I guess I'm kind of a sucker for this, but at the same time, it doesn't seem like Stevie put in a whole lot of effort here. So she walks slowly down the hall. There are many doors in the hallway. And she stares at the stairs. There are many things to stare at these days. Last song on the album, written by Lindsey and Christine, an aggressively upbeat pop song called You and I Part 2. This is fine. I don't love it. It doesn't feel like a Lindsey song. I mean, he co-wrote it with Christine. I guess if I'm being honest, I don't think I like it. Not as a Lindsey Buckingham song, at least. It's too basic and obvious. But it's not terrible. But yeah, looking at this album, Stevie's not involved really at all. Lindsey basically just gave them stuff that he was going to put on a solo album. So the MVP for sure of this album is Christine. With Everywhere and Little Lies, she really delivered a couple of hit singles that they really needed. Obviously, Lindsey's genius with Big Love. But after that, I'm not a huge fan of the rest of Lindsey's songwriting contributions here. But, you know, immediately following the release of the album, I mean, they didn't even tour with Lindsey for this album. He quit the band. But they sold a lot of copies of this, and it was a big success at the same time, which is very interesting. It just goes to show they're still riding on the name Fleetwood Mac, and here they are 10 years later. They're still capitalizing on the success of Rumors, really. Good material, Big Love, Little Lies, legitimate hit songs, but this is not an album. So what's going to happen next? Lindsey Buckingham's out of the band. What are they going to do next? How are they going to replace Lindsey? We will find out tomorrow when we talk about, oh boy, Behind the Mask. Open tomorrow.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.